Appreciate the prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers. I've got a scratchy throat this morning. It doesn't hurt, but it is hindering my voice a little bit, so I pray for grace that the Lord would enable us to speak in a way that you could understand, that we might be blessed together this morning. Today I want to try, if the Lord would bless us, to finish up with our study of the model prayer. For several weeks now, I think this is perhaps the fourth message, and I feel like that maybe we'll try to finish it this morning. But we've been talking about how that the Lord gave us this perfect model, and since He gave us a perfect model, now, He didn't necessarily tell us to pray these words every day, but He says, after this manner, pray ye. And so we need to learn the principles that Jesus addressed in the model prayer so that we can be sure that we incorporate that into our praying so that our praying would be more complete. Now, there are lots of things that we pray for and situations that need prayer that are not touched on here. But what Jesus has given us is a framework for something that ought to be the pattern, at least, that we need to be mindful of every day we live. Certainly, that's not all of our praying. There's plenty of other things we need to pray for. But in order to answer the disciples, when they said, Lord, teach us to pray, then this is the model that He gave. And since He gave it, it's perfect, isn't it? I mean, I like to myself, I like to think about the fact that if Jesus gave it, especially if He's answering a prayer, obviously He doesn't say all truth every time He answers a question, but if He gave us this example, then it's perfect in its structure, it's perfect in its principles, it's perfect for us to remember and try to put to practice in our lives. This will better equip us to live in God's kingdom. We need help every day, don't we? All right? It'll help us personally, in our families, in our homes, and it'll help those around about us because we'll be a better person to live around. You know, sometimes we need to be that, don't we? Sometimes we need to be a better person to live around. All right? And so for the grace, for blessings upon others, we need to remember to be praying for these things, all right? And I'm not going to rehash all that we've gone over already, but I will just very briefly say that as we enter into this prayer, we need to take a moment and realize what we're about to do, that we're praying to the God of heaven, whose name is hallowed, reverenced and revered above all names. Well, you wouldn't even, if you were to, we don't even have to go to the president's office. I'm not sure there's anything I would have to say to him, but any high official, you wouldn't just barge into their office, much less do we come before the God of heaven without humbling our hearts, considering our unworthiness, and realizing how great and powerful and how wonderful God is. I tell you, the more we see the glory of God, the more it humbles us and brings us down and puts us in our place so that we know how we can speak to God. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. So we humble ourselves before Him. All right, so in Matthew chapter 6, when He says, Our Father which art in heaven, beginning in verse 9, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When we say thy kingdom come, we know that in the end, the kingdom shall be delivered up to God. We know that's going to happen. We don't have to pray for that. We know God is sending His Son back to this earth. And we rejoice in that, don't we? But on a day-to-day basis, what we want is a greater manifestation of His kingdom to come. Have a greater manifestation in my life. Have a greater dominion in my life so that I can live better before God. And as we live before God in a more perfect way, it'll have an influence on others. so that others could see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven, that his kingdom would have a greater influence in this world. We can have something to do that with that, can't we? By the leadership of the Spirit, seeking God's help, seeking his wisdom, seeking to do his will, there could be a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God in our life, in our homes, in our families, in our churches. And don't we need it? All right? So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, a lot of people today say, thy will be done on earth. King James has got it right. The King James translation. Thy will be done in earth. It has to be done in earth, in this earthen tabernacle, before it's going to be done on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We talked about that. Oh, whatever we need from our Father, he's able to supply it. And we're not just talking about bread. You know, when Satan tempted Jesus, I don't think we even talked about this when we went over that part of it. But the first time that Satan tempted Jesus, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember that? And he was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's written. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. We need not only our physical sustenance that we take in each day, we need the Word of God for our souls to feast upon. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. All right? Today we want to notice verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then we'll close it out. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I got a question for you in the very beginning of our study of this today. Does anybody here need any help against temptations? You know, there's times in our lives when we feel like that we figured some things out. And we feel like that maybe some things are not a problem anymore. But you know, it can come back so easily. It can come back so easily. We need the Lord's help every day. Amen. Lead us not into temptation. I want to notice several passages that speak of this. And also, when we get to, but deliver us from evil. There's several aspects of this coming from different directions that helps us to understand that God is actively involved leading us not into temptation, and also in delivering us from evil. And the ultimate deliverance of all is that which we have to look forward to when this life is over. We don't have to worry about the consequences of sin against us. Now, you know, that's our hope. We don't have a perfect knowledge of it, but we can be persuaded of it. We can be convinced of it. We can find assurance of it as we walk in paths of obedience in this life so that we can bring glory to his name and have that calm and quiet assurance in our hearts and that peace of his abiding presence with us. It assures us and it gives us confidence to keep going in the way that's pleasing unto him. First of all, when he says, lead us not into temptation. Now, if you've read the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 13, you understand, let no man say, when I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The understood part of that is with evil. God does not tempt us with evil. He doesn't play with us. He doesn't set us up and see if we're going to fall. God loves us, and he's pure. He doesn't do things like that. I even hesitate when I hear people say, be careful what you ask for. Well, I know what they're saying, but God doesn't play with his people. God loves us. He protects us. He watches over us. And he provides what is good for us. We may not think it is, but if God's providing it, it's good for us. Now, I didn't say it's always good to us, because God does chasten his people, doesn't he? All right? And that brings us to the next thought. God does not tempt us with evil, but there are times when we have temptations and trials that are testings and trials. And that's what temptations can be temptations of evil, but it can also be testings and trials. And there are many times that we have testings and trials in this life, isn't there? All right? And those things are needed for us to grow, aren't they? We grow stronger when we make it through the trial. And the more we depend upon God, the more we look to the Lord and ask for his help and his strength, the better off we'll be as we're going through the temptation and the trial. So he's not tempting us with evil, but he does test us. There are storms in life of testing. There are storms of trial. There are storms of correction. There are things that are not pleasant for us to go through, but God does not tempt us with evil. He doesn't play with us. And listen, the closer we are to him, the better off we'll be when we're going through those trials and temptations, the testing and all of that. Remember, back in Genesis 22, it says that God tempted Abraham. Now, that was a test, wasn't it? Okay? He's not tempting him with evil. It might sound on the surface to the untrained ear, it might sound like it's evil, because he said, take thy son, thine only, God told Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto me. Wow. Would you have done that? We don't know, do we? I wouldn't want to do that, would you? Thankfully, he hasn't told me to do that. But what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. God said, do it. Now you come to the New Testament, and it helps you to understand a little bit about why Abraham was able to go ahead and do what God said. Because God had already promised Abraham that he would raise up a great nation unto his seed. Well, at that point, Isaac, he may have been grown. You know, there's every reason to believe that he could have been at least 40 years old. You know, Abraham was, what, over 100 by then? Well, he was 100 when Isaac was born. All right, so if Isaac was around 40, we do know that he was old enough that as they were going up the mountain, and he knew that they were going to make an offering, and he said, here's the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? He was able to understand they were going to make an offering, and he didn't see what was going to be offered. But do you remember what Abraham said? My son. You know, how would you tell your son what's about to happen? You know, don't rush over those two words, my son. I think there was a lot of love, a lot of compassion in what Abraham was about to tell him. A lot of need for him to be understanding that this is what God said to do. This is what we need to do. And it ended up gloriously, didn't it? Just like it always does when you do God's will. Even though we don't see how it could be good, even though we don't may not understand, you know, we always want to know the end from the beginning, don't we? We want to know, well, if I do this, Lord, what are you going to do? If you're calling me to do this, you know, we want all the details. I don't believe that God gave. There's no evidence from the scriptures that God gave Abraham all the details. He just told him to go offer Isaac. But he had made a promise. And by faith, Abraham was to take that promise and look at it and understand, well, God's telling me to take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. But he's also made this promise that of my seed, he's going to raise up a great nation. So if God's going to do that, if I sacrifice Isaac, he's going to have to raise him up again. That's what the New Testament tells us. And so Abraham proceeded without hesitation to do what God told him to do. Yes, God tempted Abraham. And Abraham passed the test. by faith. By faith. So God doesn't tempt us with evil, but he certainly does at times test us. And so we're to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. In other words, when we're walking close to the Lord, we're more in tune with his will. We have more of his spirit being manifested to us. We have a clearer understanding of how we need to proceed. And if God is there, if there's a temptation that we need to strengthen us and to help us, he's going to be there with us. For some reason, and I think we can understand some of the great reasons why God permitted, and that's what we're talking about here, we're asking God to suffer us not to be tempted, not to be tested without his presence, without his guidance. We want his presence with us. But there's great reasons why God suffered the three Hebrew children to be thrown into that fiery furnace. That just seems awful to us, doesn't it? My goodness, why would the Lord allow them to be thrown into a fiery furnace? Well, he was already in there waiting for them. When you get all the rest of the story, it looks a whole lot better, doesn't it? When we understand God was going to be in there with them, and he even allowed the king to look in there and said, "Behold, did we not cast in three? And behold, I see four. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God." If you knew that the Lord was in there waiting on you, would you have much anxiety about being thrown in there? Yes. I'll go ahead and say that. Sure we would. We'd have probably been thrown in there kicking and screaming. But the fire did not hurt them. God protected them. It didn't even singe the hair. There was not even the smell of smoke on their clothing. Wow. Isn't God able to do wondrous things? So if whatever his will leads us to do, may we follow him. But every step of the way, we need to be praying every day, lead us not into temptation. Strengthen us. Give us guidance. Help us when we must face the trials and the testings of life. Help us to go through it. Strengthen us and be with us. There's another verse of scripture that's very similar to what Jesus gave us in the model prayer. You'll find it in Psalm 141. This portion of the model prayer, by the way. David says in Psalm 141, verse 4. Now listen, this is very similar to what Jesus gave. Now there's no surprise about that, because it's the same spirit that inspired David to write those things hundreds of years before, as Christ himself giving us this model prayer. All right, Psalm 141, verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Lead us not to temptation. David is saying it this way. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. In other words, keep us from desiring those things. Give us wisdom. Give us the leadership of your spirit so that we can discern between the good and the evil and choose the good and refuse the evil. Isn't it easier to make such decisions when you feel the Spirit of the Lord closer with you? When the Spirit of the Lord is manifested, when you feel his presence with you, oh, it's so much easier to make those decisions. So David in prayer says, incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Oh, we don't want to do that. We want to please God. We want to serve him. We want to do what's right. Lead us not into temptation. Help us to follow you. Help us to stay close to you. Help us to make those good choices. And the last part of that verse 4 says, and let me not eat of their dainties. Don't desire those things that they feast upon. We want to be feasting on the Word of God so that we can be strengthened, so we can feel His presence with us, so that we can be strong against temptations as we have to go through them. So we have that, the fleshly tendencies that we have to deal with, and we need the presence and the power of the Spirit of God with us to help us in those times. We also have our adversary, the devil. You've heard of him, haven't you? He's real, isn't he? But he's no match for God. Remember that. He's no match for him. Now, he's plenty of a match for you. As a matter of fact, Peter warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may make friends. Is he out there to help you? No, he's out there to devour you. And we need the Spirit of God working closely with us, feeling His presence, mindful of His Word, understanding His will, to stay away from Him. Stay out of His clutches. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, may God help us. Lead us not into temptation. Keep us away from those things where we would be subject to be devoured. Now, just those things we've already covered here, we see that God has power over our circumstances. He has power over the adversary. And we need to be calling upon Him and asking for His help on a regular basis to help us against those kinds of things. We also find in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 9, Peter tells us this: the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, okay, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Are we asking Him on a regular basis, lead us not into temptation? Are we asking Him on a regular basis, help us, Lord, that we do the right thing and follow You and feel Your presence and desire to please You? You know, if we get lax on that, if we start forgetting about that, this old flesh can get strong. This old flesh can have a great influence on our actions. That's why we need, on a daily basis, when we talked about give us this day our daily bread, it's clearly the intent the Lord had that we pray these things on a daily basis and as many times a day as you feel like it. Prayerful. One of the most outstanding men in the Old Testament, Daniel, his habit, and there wasn't too many things that got in the way of it. There's no indication whatsoever that he let anything get in the way of his prayers three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. I tell you, there's power. There's power that we receive in regular prayers to God, depending upon Him, asking Him for the help and the deliverance that we need on a regular basis. Getting back to the idea of the adversary, if you remember Luke chapter 23, remember Jesus told Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Remember that? You find that in Luke 22, verse 31. Satan hath desired to have you. He's our adversary now. He's not our friend. Oh, he's going to act like your friend. But all he wants to do is lead you astray and devour you. And so the Lord told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Do you know how they sifted wheat in that day? They had something, and they put the wheat on there, and they'd toss it up in the air so the wind could blow the chaff. The good seed would fall back down. They'd toss it up again, toss it up again, toss it up again. Do you know that's how Satan wants to do you? He wants to keep you reeling. He wants to knock you. He wants to lift you. He wants to sift you like that wheat, just bouncing up and down so that you're not stable, so that you're not grounded, so that you're not able to resist. We don't want that kind of a life, do we? We want to stay close to the Lord. We want to be firmly grounded and settled, understanding what the will of the Lord is, trying to honor Him in all that we do. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, I need your help. I need your help every moment of the day. I need you. And the Lord can help like nobody else. I'm thankful for good friends, aren't you? I'm thankful for family, thankful for many things. I'm telling you, never a friend like Jesus, is there? I mean, He can be right there with us all the time that we need Him. Lead us not into temptation. We need the help of the Lord. We need to be clinging to Him. You know, that's when we're following as dear children. Clinging to Him. Trying to please Him. And I'll tell you, when you're doing that, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. All right, so lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Does God do that for us? You sure? Just checking. You're right. He does. All right. Deliver us from evil. How much evil is there in the world? You know it. On every hand. And so, on every hand, we need the Lord. And we need to ask Him. He's the one with the wisdom. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. We don't. We don't know what's going to happen 5 seconds from now. Oh, we make our plans. We try to do what we think we're going to do. We may even boast about what we're going to do. We don't know. Only God knows. And we need Him. We need His help to deliver us from evil. I want to take several passages. Sorry to keep bouncing around, but I want you to see that this is, and we're just going to scratch the surface this morning, but this is a very comprehensive subject because this is something that God does for us so many times we don't even realize it. Now, we understand that principle, that God is watching over us and providing for us in times when we don't even know it. But the Scriptures are full of indications that God is doing things for us and we don't even realize it. He's the one that's in control, isn't He? Aren't you glad God is not out of control? Aren't you glad that this world is not out of God's control? We may agonize about, and we do agonize a lot about the way things are going in this world. And it needs to change if this nation is going to stand much longer. It needs to change. But if it's going to change, it has to change in God's people. God's people have to change first. Remember what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says? If my people, which are called by my name. See, there was a time, there was a great need for repentance in Israel that day. Where did God start? Well, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He says, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sins. Then will I heal their land. We need every bit of that, don't we? Well, we know where it has to start. It has to start with us. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All right, first passage I want to understand about how He delivers us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Okay? But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? That tells me He'll never put more on us than we can bear. That's what that's saying. You're saying, preacher, you just don't know. Well, I know what the Bible says. And I know it says God's faithful. All right? so you may be stronger than you realize. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. All right? That tells us he will give you a way to escape. That is, there's a way through it. And that way through it is always with him. And he will show us the way. But we need to be drawing nigh to him, don't we? We need to be living close to him. Read something recently I thought was very, very true. Very true. He was talking about church attendance. He says, you know, it's not, the problem is not that we live too far from the church if we don't make it to church. Problem is we live too far from God. We need to be living close to God every day. He's nigh to them that call upon him. He's right there. His spirit was in you. He'll help us. He'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us the strength. We just need to call upon him. Draw nigh to him, the promise is from James. And he will draw nigh unto us. That is a faithful promise that we oftentimes neglect to claim. All right? He'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So oftentimes we stubbornly look for our own way of escape. We think we can handle it, Lord. I don't need you right now. Isn't that silly? Now we all do it. I do it. I'll confess. But we ought not. We need to be dependent upon the Lord, asking him, show me, Lord, that way of escape. There may be times you may be experiencing something right now where you need this desperately. And what we need to say is, Lord, show me the way of escape. It won't be without him. It'll be with him. But we need to be asking for his help to lead us in that way. Let me give you another one. You might not have thought about it in this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You remember when Paul had that thorn in the flesh and he besought the Lord three times that he would remove it. And he said, no. Because he'd given it to him for a reason. Remember what that was? I may need to read that because I want to get it right. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Back up to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Now here's the point. Look at why the thorn was given to Paul. It wasn't because he was being a bad boy. It was to keep him from being exalted above measure. You might say to keep his feet on the ground. Now, we don't think too much about the Lord doing something like that. I mean, it's a wonderful thing for us to be exalted in rejoicing in the glory of God. But what the Lord did for Paul was to keep him from thinking too highly of himself. This old fleshly pride of ours would elevate us to a place where we think we're better than somebody else. With all this abundance of revelations, it humbled Paul that the Lord gave him that thorn. So he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now, a lot of folks have said, well, what was that thorn? That's what it is. It was a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, we could speculate as to how it was manifested, and I don't want to get into that right now. But the point is, Paul received something from the Lord that even in the good times was something to keep him more perfectly in the will of God. My point is, we need him all the time. When we're having trouble, when we're in distress, when things are going good, we need him all the time. Even the Apostle Paul needed him to keep his feet on the ground and keep him thinking right. Even with an abundance of revelations. So we need him every step of the way. Now, let me give you a couple very quickly that's more in tune with what we think about when we ask the Lord to deliver us from evil. I want to go to the letters in Revelation, the letters to the seven churches. And we'll start in Revelation chapter 2. And this is the second of the seven churches, the church at Smyrna, the church that had to suffer greatly. As we're praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The day in which we're living today, friends, brethren, this evil is increasing. It's been increasing, but it seems like it's increasing at a faster pace, don't you think? Christians are going to be challenged more, perhaps this year, than you've been challenged in the last 10. We're just living in that kind of day. Christianity is, there's a concerted effort in high places in our government to shove Christianity out of the picture. It started a long time ago trying to kick God out of the classroom. And to keep him going, there's now things in the military where they're limiting what you can even talk about with other people in the military along Christian things. The point is, it's just everywhere. I'm just throwing some things out here. If you listen to the news, you've heard about it. You understand what I'm talking about. But it's going to get more and more. And our need to feel God's presence with us every day because of persecution that will be growing. I'm thankful that we live in the Bible Belt. Aren't you? But it's going to affect all of us. Is God able to keep us? He's the only one that's able to keep us. If we choose not to listen to him, who are you going to listen to? The one that's going to devour you? How's that working? Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. It would be good just to stay here for a while, but I want to make several points. Verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation. This is the message to the church at Smyrna. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Now, it can't be both, can it? Well, it could be that they're in poverty naturally. But spiritually, they're rich because they're trusting God, because they're leaning upon him, because they're clinging to him, drawing nigh to him, and they're rich in the things that really count and what makes life worth living. All right? But thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Listen, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now, get what he's saying here. He's not saying, don't worry about it, you're not going to suffer. That's not what he said. He says, don't fear that. Don't let it make you unsettled. You're going to suffer some things. Didn't Jesus already say back in John 16, in the world you shall have tribulation? Well, do you believe that? I do. It's going to happen. But listen, he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. I believe in a literal sense, the ministry is going to face some of that before too many years. There's already principles in the Bible And if you preach the Bible, it's going to violate a lot of city ordinances that's already on the books. And some places, they're trying their best to enforce them. All right, so he says, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. 10 days is just symbolic of testimony, a period of testing, trial. Be thou faithful unto death. My goodness. Some of them are going to suffer unto death. That puts a different light on the fact that God's going to deliver us, doesn't it? Regardless of what they do, regardless of how we may become persecuted, the safest place you can be is in the will of God. And if they take your life, so be it. You'll awaken His presence. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. There's a life that's better than this life, and that's eternal life. And none of the stuff that we have to face and suffer in this world is going to make it into heaven's pure world. But we may have to suffer something in the days ahead as Christians. The church has had a glorious many years without persecution. But you see the condition that's in today. The result of persecution down through the histories is it has caused the church to grow. It's caused us to realize that the things of this world are not worth our time and our affection. The only thing that's worth our time and affection is the one that can keep us in the hour of temptation. That's what we need. And so when God's people get their focus the way it should be and get our hearts back toward Him and clinging and depending upon Him, we may see some church growth. And it may be wonderful. All right, so that was Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Go to the next chapter, same verse. Chapter 3, Revelation 3, verse 10. This is the message to the church at Philadelphia. The only church that God didn't have a rebuke for. They were being faithful to Him. But that doesn't mean they weren't suffering. Doesn't mean that they didn't have to suffer. Look at, let's just start reading in verse 8. I want to get primarily to verse 10, but notice verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So did you see the reward for keeping His word and not denying His name? Open access to God. In fellowship. That's right. In fellowship with God. Prayers. You know, sometimes when you pray and those prayers don't get any higher than your head, there's no spirit there to lift it up to God. But sometimes when we're praying in the Spirit, it seems like that we're right there at the throne of God. And it's because the Spirit has made the connection for us. We're praying in the Spirit. The Spirit's helping our infirmities. And so he says, to those that had not that had kept His word and not denied His name, He set before them an open door that could not be shut. All right? He says, verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Word of His patience. That means we understand something about the will of God. That means we understand what God would have us to do. That means we're doing it. We're walking in it. Okay? We've kept the word of his patience. He says, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There have been many hours of temptation. There have been many times people have had to suffer greatly. God's people have been persecuted from time to time, but he will keep them. They may give their life, but they'll be safe in him. They'll be safe with him. We are preserved in Christ Jesus. They may destroy this body, but they can't touch our soul. God is able to keep us. And so when we think about these temptations, when we think about these trials, we need to be praying on a daily basis. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to be mindful of the evil around about us and asking the Lord for the help and strength we need to be delivered from it. Do you remember the high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 just before he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane? This is just before he would be arrested and go through that mock trial and be crucified. And Jesus is praying unto the Father. He's now taught everything that he needed to teach to his disciples. He had done all the Father had given him to do. The only thing left now was for him to go through the suffering and be nailed to the cross and rise from the dead. His hour was come. But listen to some of the things that he prayed for in John 17. I'll begin in verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Don't you wish he would just go ahead and do that? You know, that we could just be delivered from all the suffering and the trials and the burdens of this life. That'll be wonderful someday, won't it? And the sooner he does that, the better. But for some reason, God has chosen to wait. And I have to believe that the reason he's waiting is because all of his children haven't been born yet. And so the long suffering of God is there. And when Jesus prayed unto the Father this prayer, he didn't pray that he would take us out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So when Jesus prayed, that's his desire, that God would keep us from the evil. Then if we're going to be in tune with the will of God, then he's given us this model prayer that we need to be praying that as well. And that will help us to remember the need. And that's what we need to do on an everyday basis. Pray that thou should, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're of God, aren't we? God's people. We're not of this world. Now notice verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In our praying, deliver us from evil. One of the greatest helps we have is the Word of God. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, to be sanctified is to be set apart, to be separated from. The more we're reading the Word of God, the more we're designed to understand the Word of God, the more we're designed to follow the Word of God and apply it in our lives and be blessed by it, the more separated we'll be from the things of this world and the desires for the things of this world. and the desires for participation in the things of this world that are contrary to the word and teaching of God. The more sanctified we are, the more of his word that we have on a regular basis. You know, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? "That I might not sin against thee." The word, having that word treasured up in our heart, remembering that word, following that word, and being blessed by it, helps us to keep ourselves from the things of this world. That word will help us. And God's already given it to us. And to a great extent, this is the mouth of God today speaking to us. The lips of God, from as we open his word, he speaks to us. He's already told us those things that will be good for us and wholesome for us and strengthen us against the evil of this world. If he's already told us in here, does he have to speak it from heaven again? Shouldn't have to. He's already given it to us. The reason so many people are ignorant of what he said is they haven't read the book. It's there. And I understand some people say, "I don't understand the Bible." Well, mystery of mysteries. The more you read it, the more you'll understand it. Because the more you read it with desire that God would help you to understand, the more he will bless you to understand. And he's not just going to open your head and dump it all in at one time. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why we have to do it daily, so that we can stay in the will of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have an invaluable resource right here in the Bible to help us, to deliver us from evil. Are we availing ourselves to it? Are we reading it? Are we asking for understanding? Or would we rather just follow, take whatever comes? How's that working for you? Deliver us from evil. As we pray these things daily, as we ask for the Lord's help, as we try to apply those things, and as we realize that we're tested at times and we're facing tribulations at times, and we need the presence of the Lord, one thing more that will help us tremendously as we go through this struggle is to remember the ultimate deliverance we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know when it says deliver us from evil, we don't have to pray for the Lord to come back. He's coming. He's already said he's coming. He told us he's coming. It's going to happen. We can desire it, but we don't have to pray and try to convince God that it'll happen. He's already told us it's going to. But oh, what a joy it is to our heart. And the more joy we experience, the more strength and encouragement we'll have to continue on in this struggle, to remember the ultimate deliverance that we have from evil. In Galatians 1 verse 4, it says that of Christ that he gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. Oh, remember that. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 says he hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, we don't have to pray for that. He's already accomplished that when he saved us from our sins. But it encourages us and it strengthens us and it gives us joy in our hearts to remember what he has done, so that it will help us through the struggle of each day and stay close to him. So all of these principles have been given to us in this model prayer, so that as he comes down to the end, he says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom." It's God's kingdom. it runs the way he wants it to run. We're all the time wanting God to sign on to our program. Do what we want. On our timetable. In the way we want it. We do that, don't we? But we need to submit ourselves to his timetable. His program. His will. For thine is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. Christ purchased those chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Christ chose them with his precious blood. Remove the penalty of death. Bless your hearts, we're safe in him. It's his kingdom. And because he has saved us, because by his almighty power he has delivered us, then we owe him all the thanksgiving and praise and adoration and appreciation that we can muster all the days of our lives. For thine is the kingdom and the power. He has saved us by his own power, hasn't he? Oh, we love to think about the power of God, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 1, there in verse, the last part of verse 8 and then verse 9, where he says, according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's according to his power. His power. He is able to raise the dead. He is able to take those whose bodies have been in the grave so long that it's nothing more than dust, that has done what the Bible says, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And he's able to take those that dust and fashion a glorious body like unto his own body when he comes again. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And here's where we need to be careful. To give him all the glory. If someone says this is what Jesus has done, but if you don't accept it, you can't be saved. Well, when he accepts it, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory for it to be finished? Bless your hearts, God gets the glory. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us before we ever did any evil or good. He chose us by his own sovereignty, by his own mercy. He chose us. Not because he saw anything good in us, but all the goodness is in his Son, who the Father sent to this world to save us from our sins. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For how long? Long as time remains? Oh, it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than that. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Ever. That's a long time, isn't it? As a matter of fact, it's unending. Because that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it is right now. That's the way it's always going to be. Always has been. God is worthy of glory and honor and praise. And in heaven's pure world, he'll get the praise and the honor he deserves. I hope that we're praising him and honoring him while we live our lives right now. But in our very best efforts are tainted with sin. We come short. But bless your hearts in the resurrection, where we're taken home to be with him. All the limitations of this body, all the sin, all the shortcomings will be gone. And we'll finally be able to praise him as we should. And as we say so many times, our favorite definition of eternity is that it's just long enough to praise God enough. That's how he set it up. God will get his glory. But we can start right now, can't we? We can praise and honor and glorify his matchless name right now. And so in the days ahead, may God help us to pay more attention to that model prayer and those principles that are contained in it, because it will surely do you good if you lay them to heart, if you start praying those things and asking God for the help and blessings that you need. Help ask him that you might feel his presence and the leadership of his Holy Spirit, and that he would give us the wisdom that we need to live our lives in a way that's pleasing unto him. That's a prayer that's honorable. That's a prayer that God is pleased to grant. And may we pray that prayer every day we live. May God bless you is our prayer.